Right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. Format is simple. I do say this, but I do still get emails. It's strange. I got somebody emailing me the other day saying, I can't watch the full podcast even though I'm a member. I've been on Podomatic and I only see it first hour. Ah, well, there's your problem. You're only ever going to get the full podcast at sheepfarm.co.uk. Sheepfarm.co.uk. If you're trying to get it anywhere else, you won't get it anywhere else. You can watch the first hour. We put them out on Podomatic that distribute them to Amazon, Google, Spotify, Audible, and all the other usual suspects. And we also put them. I put the first hour on Rumble and Odyssey as well. So you get that. And you can also listen to the first hour on sheepfarm.co.uk. But you only ever get the full podcast at sheepfarm.co.uk. Do we need to say that again? No.
I was actually looking out. You can do it where you get
you know, an Apple.
Yeah, but I can't even. I don't know how to do it. If I'm honest.
No, you'd have to leave that to me, probably, wouldn't you?
No, what I mean is, I don't even know how to find other people's. You know what I mean? So getting this done is going to be. I don't know. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's something else. I'm. Do you know what? I'm quite happy where it is. I don't want to add another loading issue to me life. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications for all new shows. But it doesn't matter if you don't subscribe to the website. That part's free. Membership to £2. But if you subscribe, you get the email notification for the shows. But it doesn't matter because all the new shows go on Saturday anyway, round about, I don't know, sometime into the afternoon. We generally put a show on there. Thanks for everybody who sends in comments, emails, and sends Christian Instagram DMs. Which he thought were Doc Martens. I'd like to thank everybody for ordering the Vit Powder from healthbunker.co.uk. If you're ordering Health Bunker products, just Health Bunker products, not the some other products on there that aren't our products, you can use a promo code. It's HB-SF25 off. I'll leave it in the description if you want to use it. But yeah, the new Huxley podcast, documentary, whatever you want to call it, will be released on YouTube. It premieres at 7 o'clock on the 30th of March, 2024. We'll release the whole show to everybody. It's about 2.5 hours long, is the full podcast. But it'll get released throughout the day as normal, as a podcast. But the one on YouTube will have like a screen show behind it, just showing where a lot of the research came from that I got when pulling the information out. I've already written the next episode. In fact, I need to stop writing on it because I'm adding to it. And the next episode, ironically, Chris, right, that episode we just recorded, that was only half of it.
Right.
I thought that were going to be half of it. So I've already added two more episodes onto what were going to be four episodes anyway. To add on to the, what were it, six episodes that I thought were only going to be two to start with. So probably already up to 12 episodes from possible three that I thought were going to be.
Also, we always forget to mention, when we do a show out on a Saturday, we do look at the YouTube comments as well, because I know we don't have comments on the Sheep Farm, because it was a bit of a ball there, wasn't it?
Well, no, what it was a legal nightmare.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And also, it can get a bit, you've got to manage it, and it gets into a bit of a bun fight. People saying, this is right, and I think that's right.
But I know you look at the YouTube, because we get a few comments on there, and I look at them up till about Wednesday the next week, actually. I know you do as well. So if anyone wants to comment anything and get a chat going, YouTube's probably on the advert that you put out.
Yeah, the trailer.
The place to do it, the trailer, probably the place to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm also, I'd like to plug my new clock. I've made a Sheep Farm clock. If anyone wants to buy one, I made a new one. It's on my Etsy shop, Gaping Gobs on Etsy. If you search that. And I've also put anything in my shop you can buy with 10% off if you just put in Sheep Farm as a discount code.
Yeah.
So a shameless plug. Yeah. There's also some bottle openers still there. And
can't you do like nostrils as like an ashtray?
Do your nostrils as an ashtray. And it'd be too big, actually. Yeah.
It always makes me chuckle that when that couple walk past you up at Jonathan's do, where
in fact, I told you say, more than
isn't that Christian? People. Isn't that Christian? No, it can't be. His nostrils aren't that big.
Not big enough.
I find that quite funny.
Yeah, and also follow the Sheep Farm on Instagram as well, where I put little pictures on and stuff. Nothing too dramatic, just a little bit. I know a lot of people are interested in Instagram. I can't say I am that much, but I do like putting pictures on there.
Yeah. It's your little hobby cat.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Also, I'll put in the show notes the donation, the link to Richard D. Hall's court case if you want to donate. I'm sure he'd be grateful to that. For that, should I say. You wanted me to mention before we started, and in fact, no, what witch piss are you on tonight?
Oh.
Because I saw your glass came out.
I got a bottle of Governor.
Really delicate. You put it down really delicately, your glass.
I've got a bottle of my Governor that I get delivered.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I went on the phone to you the other day, and if they got delivered, I heard them all jangling around.
Yeah.
What did they do? Pull up with like a, do you know, like when they deliver to pubs? One of the big trucks pull up with barrels
three
on.
Of them throwing them off.
Yeah, with barrels on and stuff. Or some shire horses pull up with a big trailer on it. Didn't anybody say out about it? Some of my neighbours, you know, them that lock themselves away?
Yeah.
That self-isolating.
Oh, yeah.
Every week. Probably in hazmat suits as we speak. I noticed, do you notice people's rubbish?
Well, not personally.
Well, the amount of cans and bottles all right. out there.
So that sounds like a boozer's wheelie bin.
Well, yeah. Because we don't have any. There's no bottles or cans. Don't drink pop.
No, I don't know.
Even kids don't drink any.
Ours is pretty chinky, to be fair.
Honestly, we're like a skipful, you know what I mean? We're like a... Yeah, yours will be clinking because of bottles, won't it?
Yeah. Mrs. likes a tipple as well.
Likes a tipple. You make it sound like it likes a tipple equals bottle. I don't know why you don't just open it and put a straw in it.
I've got to savour the flavour.
Yeah, that's first class, right? You save it flavour up first class. Yeah, you were saying about a film you were watching.
Yeah, yeah, I wanted to bring that up briefly. I watched a film, excuse me, hang on a minute. I watched a film on Amazon called American Fiction. I don't know if anyone watched it. And it's got that black guy in it, actor, Jeffrey Wright. I quite like him as an actor. He's plugged as a comedy drama. But what I noticed was, it's a full, mainly black cast, because it's kind of about that. It's about a black author who, and it got really good reviews, who is trying to be like a highbrow author, but he's sick of all like the, you know, he's sick of the black wokeness, basically. So he like writes a gangster novel, and it becomes successful. It's quite a good story. But the main point I'm on about this is, what I noticed is, in the first half an hour, right, this is the first 30 minutes of the film, bearing in mind it's a comedy, it's got dementia, Alzheimer's, it turns out to be, Alzheimer's. But the weirdest bit was, he goes back to where he's from, and he's talking to his sister. Sorry if I'm spoiling this for anyone. It didn't really spoil the film. It's a good film. But he's talking to his sister in a pub, and she just has a heart attack and drops dead. Shows her in the hospital, getting CPR or whatever it's called. But I've never seen that in a film, have you?
No.
In my entire life, I've never seen a person just grab the heart and with no build-up to it and just drop it. Basically, it's the first time I've seen a sudden death like that in a film, which, again, eats more towards the normalisation. And also, he goes and sees his brother, and he's talking to him. He says, oh, how's your wife and kids? I haven't seen them for a while. And he goes, oh, she left me when she found me in bed with another man. And then they just continue talking like he didn't say it. Again, more program. I just found it odd.
I found then, some of these programs, I mean, I can't watch them anyway, but the even something that's half decent turns into a virtue signaling woke nightmare.
You kind of fired it all in at the beginning, which was interesting, because all this was in the first half an hour. And then they start talking about opioids and sleeping tablets. I just found it quite odd. And then there's a bit where they're like ridiculing this this white guy, which I thought was quite... It was being mixed race, we can actually see both sides, I suppose. But I don't know. And also his mum made a comment of he got a new girlfriend. Oh, thank God she's not white. And when, you know, when you think of the reverse, if that was reversed, it would wind a lot of people up, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If it was reversed and you said, thank God your new girlfriend's not black, you just wouldn't do it. It couldn't happen, could it, in today's world? But I don't know. What is the game there? you know,
well, it's the same old game, isn't it? To create divides. Everything creates divides, doesn't it? Because you can't watch anything without seeing some tit with a mask on, or seeing somebody with a rainbow, or some, or you've got to think this, or you're homophobic, or
as well,
racist, or you're something.
In that first half an hour, 40 minutes, suicide as well. His dad had topped himself. That's mentioned. And then later on, when they make it into a bit of a joke, someone has a brain aneurysm.
It must be like that. Do you know that guy who wrote in and went, Big Shield Mike, tick. Merch site, tick. Nostrils, tick.
Sudden death, tick.
Yeah, so the script's got all these things in it.
Homosexuality.
Yeah. How much funding can we get? Wokeness. 200 grand for that script. What about if we have all this in? 20 million.
Do you know, when you think about how it works, it would be very easy, wouldn't it, that they have these people that, you know, that are keeping everything on trend, if you like, that they've got the script and everything. They go, yeah, we just need a bit of this in it. Put a bit, you know, this is something that's on trend at the moment.
Chris, investment into businesses, in for the funding, that is exactly what they invest in. So you don't think of an idea. You think of what investment's around, right, to get investment. And films, music, it's all the same thing.
Same shit.
Yeah. It's all the same thing, because to get investment, if again, research,
like that,
same,
that.
Research the same thing. If you're going to research something, if you add climate change to it, you get an extra million.
I was going to say that analogy you use. I'm going to do some research on red squirrels.
Yeah.
No, we're not giving you any funding. Well, I'm going to do research on how they're affecting their environment. There you go.
Yeah. I also want to research if red squirrels, if there are more trans red squirrels now.
Yeah. Well, there's another suitcase full of cash then.
There's another suitcase full of cash. Yeah.
You've got an endless flow until you've solved this problem.
Yeah, a bottomless pit. Bottomless pit, vulture capitalist.
Yeah.
I saw on YouTube that, you know that company, Cazoo? Near the Cazoo, you've seen the adverts.
Rings a bell.
They're everywhere. They're advertising all over the place. Anyway, they're like buying up all the second-hand car dealerships, and guy's a disruptor online, you know, is an internet disruptor. And I was thinking that company, right, is having problems now. So it's not worked. Whatever they were doing has not worked. But they were spending 100 million a year on advertising or marketing. Or spent, maybe not a year, but 100 million spent on that. They only started in 2018. So they started in 2018, then it floated in 2020. December 2020, right? And on the New York stock market, I think it was the alternative market in New York. Might be wrong there, but anyway, we're New York. And it was worth at one point $7 billion on that stock market.
How can something start
in 2018 and be worth $7 billion in two or three years during a total lockdown of the world? And it's never made a penny.
I don't really understand. You understand that world better than me. I don't understand.
I understand the expectation or the investment to hope it makes something further down the line.
Yeah, I understand that. But
we all understand that, even from a smaller perspective. But now it's worth fuck all. Mm. So someday, somewhere, it's like Iceberg Slim books, the shakedowns. Mm. That's what it's got all the hallmarks of. To get investment in a big business, and in a business like that, you've got to get the established hedge funds or insurance companies that invest, right? So what you do as an owner, you'd sell part of that business to these hedge funds for a low amount before you floated. And then these hedge funds then, when it floated, the stock will go up for the excitement of and the momentum of the flotation onto the stock market. Then they sell out. So they make a quick killing, right? And the owner does as well. They make money. So, but the people then, what happens is they get caught up in the ooh-ah about the excitement about it. It's just, they end up putting the pensions into it, is what I'm trying to say. Mm. They're the ones that get screwed.
Yeah.
As always. But that's one business. You've never even heard of it. Cazoo. K-A-Z-O-O.
I'm not very financially minded, but it sounds like a lot of money laundering to me. But in a different way.
Well, it's extortion, Chris. The whole thing is
reminds me of that. Do you remember that bit in Goodfellas where they go into the business with that restaurant guy?
Yeah.
And they're loading things through the back door and taking them out the front.
Yeah. Turn it to. Yeah.
Reminds me of that.
Yeah. And he wishes he'd never got involved in it.
Yeah. And then they set it on fire when they've used all money.
Yeah.
They just burn it for insurance.
And people from outside will look at that as a failure. But someone somewhere's got in and out and made absolutely.
Well, the gangsters have done really well out of it. The guy who owned it's screwed, isn't it?
No, the guy who owned it isn't screwed because he sold £100 million of the shares.
Oh, no, I'm on about Goodfellas.
Yeah, all right, yeah, he's screwed. He's definitely screwed. Yeah.
I'm not about Kazu. Yeah. That's probably what he set it up for. That would be the beginning.
I don't think they set him up for that, to be honest with you. They want him to work. That's why they put the money in. But like Amazon were funded till it worked. You know, Google funded till it worked. eBay, all these companies like that, they were going to be around forever. These other ones are not as high up the food chain as them.
Do you know, I was reading, this made me think about this kind of thing. Who is it? Zack Snyder, who made the Batman and Superman films or whatever. He did one on Netflix and it was like a science fiction one. I watched it, it was all right, mediocre. Mm. But what point is they've already planned three films, right? Crossover comic books, video games, TV series. But it reminded me of the way that business is now, like that Kazu thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
When it used to be, I'm going to set up myself up a little cafe or a restaurant, right? Mm. People, and I think that Dragon's Den way of, before they've even done one, they're already planning the chain, aren't they?
Yes.
What I mean is, and it takes away that one little passion project that then, you know, if you start a little restaurant open, it does well and it's really successful, then you could bleed onto a second one or possibly a third one. But what they do now is everything's planned way ahead. Like even to get films fired.
But to get investment, it's got to be scalable. That's what they say. Yeah. It's got to be scalable. And, well, if you look at a film, now they call them a franchise.
It's a franchise.
So that's why you've got that Vin Diesel, what is it? Fast and Furious 25 or whatever it is.
But what I mean is now, Fire, they're planning it even before the ones even hit the ground.
Yeah.
You know, there's two planned. I suppose it started with Lord of the Rings, didn't it? They planned all three. I suppose that was the beginning of it, of that kind of thing. But it just...
Star Wars as well, probably.
Well, yeah, Star Wars, yeah. Sorry. But I mean, when they made the first one, didn't they made the second and third one. When they did the new 90s ones, 2000 ones, they planned all three. But
how many Star Wars ones are there now?
Nine.
10, with that unofficial one.
Well, no, even there's nine. Official. There's nine official of that, whatever. But again, it's the same with that. It's oversaturated. But what I mean is, they take the original passion out of everything, don't they?
But we were talking yesterday, Chris.
You just came diluted.
You came up with a name, didn't you? Who's with the Batman guy? What's it called? We just mentioned director of Batman.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, and that guy who's his production designer, Nathan Crowley.
Well, it wasn't me. No, it weren't me. I was listening to PsyOp Cinema, which is a podcast. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's listened to that. I quite like it. They analyse films with, you know, esoteric stuff in them and stuff like that. And they didn't actually notice the Crowley name.
Didn't clock it. Yeah.
They were just talking about, I'll tell you what they were talking about. And like I said, I didn't come up with this. I heard it on their show. But they were talking about Oppenheimer. And they were on about the fact that Christopher Nolan's production designer on Oppenheimer was a woman who he'd never used before because he uses the same guy in all his films. And what they pointed out was that woman also was a production designer on the last David Lynch, Twin Peaks film, which also involved the nuclear bomb going off, the same nuclear bomb. That's what they were talking about. Right. And they were saying, why was no one talking about the coincidence that that same production designer worked on them two films that involved the same nuclear bomb? And they brought in another guy for the... Was his normal guy called? His normal production designer's called Crowley. That was right.
Nathan Crowley.
Nathan Crowley. And that's what pricked my ears up when they said Crowley. So I said it to you. But I just thought it was interesting. Anyway, PsyOp Cinema, if anyone's interested.
It's more than interesting because if this guy is related to Crowley.
Well, I thought about that ball over to you.
Yeah. Well, again, a lot of this stuff's scrubbed. It's definitely scrubbed, but I mean, we'll probably find some information, but it's probably related to that Alex Crowley who you mentioned had got Boris Johnson into. Let's hypothetically say he's part of that Crowley lineage. You've got one that's helping get prime ministers elected and controlling people's minds, and you've got a possible other one, right, who were born in 1966, who's a production set designer. Going back to what we used to talk about, you only need one person involved who's in there getting people to put their hand over their eye type of thing, right?
Yeah. In modelling, it could be a photographer, couldn't it?
Who said? Yeah, of course it could, yeah. Well, I mean, he's a set designer, isn't he?
Yeah, so you could put those little nuances in the background that us lunatics pick up on.
Yes.
Is it down to them? Down to the director, I suppose, and the production designer. Yeah. But the production designer could get away with things without the director knowing, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's a feasible, isn't it?
Yeah. He has won a Jupiter Award.
Won it a Saturn Award?
Saturn Award, sorry.
Saturn Award,
yeah. But he were part of making films and like The Prestige and, you know, Dark Knight, Interstellar.
He's done all Christopher Nolan's films except for Oppenheimer.
And he's also working on Willy Wonka, the new one.
That's why he couldn't do Oppenheimer, because he was on. Right. He was doing Willy Wonka.
Right.
Which was... Who is it who wrote that file? I just get confused.
I don't know.
Roald Dahl.
Well, Roald Dahl, again, we talked about Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
An intelligence agent.
And the Willy Wonka character in himself is a bit sus in it, really, when you think.
What, enticing little kids into eat sweets?
it's a big pedo factory.
It's a big no-no, isn't it? Coming to see my little orange dwarfs.
Yeah. They were supposed to be black, actually. They changed it for that film, the one with, what's it, this 1970s film. They changed
Gene Wilder.
They changed it to orange because he didn't want to do the race thing. I think they were supposed to be black. I think originally they were. That's a good film.
I mean, he's done some right films as this guy.
Hmm. Interesting, though. Is he a Crowley? Is he an actual, genuine Crowleyite? Who knows?
Well, I know where my money's going. Knowing what we look into, because the stuff that you look into and you find out that these people are intertwined in this, and they might not be nice people, but it's the energy in it. They don't know. A lot of, some of them don't. Some of them do. It's interesting when names like this pop up, isn't it? Other week we were talking about, I'll just pull this up actually while we were talking about it. We were talking about, I don't know where it started, probably me and Matt Sergio seem to go nuts a little bit. On Kevin Bacon, that were it. It were on that Smiley Faces, wasn't it?
Mm.
There was something to do with the Smiley Faces. He were in a film. It was Kevin Bacon's daughter, wasn't it, that were in that
That's
film?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I look at Kevin Bacon's bloodline, and he's actually married to his ninth cousin.
Right.
Kyra Sedgwick via a man called Samuel Hinckley. Hinckley's infamous descendant is John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot President Reagan.
Right.
So when you see Kevin Bacon advertising 5G, and his relations are a mind control operative for the CIA who shot a president. In Kevin Bacon's ancestry, we'd also find a direct descendant of William I, King of Scotland, and a family connection to the current royal family through his sixth great-grandfather, Michael Newbold, which he shares as a common ancestor with Princess Diana.
Right.
He's also related to President Nixon and both Bush presidents and Barack Obama. This is just Kevin Bacon. Who's married to his ninth cousin.
Again, I think animated films, that is EE contract, which he seems to have been doing forever. Imagine the cash cow that is. It probably just keeps him sweet forever.
Yeah.
Is that like a handout?
I don't know, but it's
a little glory job.
He wouldn't even have to get in a plane now, would he? Because they can film it anywhere they want in the world. Shit like that that he films. Film him walking down road in London, and he could just be walking on a treadmill.
That probably takes up a week of his life and probably earns a fortune out of it.
Well, look, I didn't realise, but the Bacon brothers, right? When I started looking into this, it got my mind ticking on other stuff, as you can understand. I started writing some information down about some other people, and I called it No Plumbers Here, Only Lifetime Actors, just to write up Mark Street. And Yeah, Kevin Bacon. He's got, the Bacon brothers are like music. He's a musician. I'm sure well, I the musicians. Brother. Yeah, the Bacon brothers are musicians. So he was a musician as well. And you tend to find a lot of these people are. You know, we were talking about the Attenboroughs last time, and I got into that by looking at Joanna Lumley, and it led me into some anyway, led me off. And I was emailing Matt about Joanna Lumley and Attenboroughs and people like that. And she was in Sapphire Steel, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Joanna Lumley. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy that were in it with her was McCallum. What's he called?
Sapphire and Steel? Is that Avengers?
No, she was in Avengers. Then she went into Sapphire and Steel. Remember Sapphire?
Is it the same characters?
No.
No. All right.
But the guy from Man from Uncle, McCallum, I forget what his first name is. I'll have to look that up now. David McCallum, yeah?
Right.
And he was an actor and musician as well.
Right.
And his dad, right, David McCallum Sr., was a violinist with London Philharmonic Orchestra, but he actually ran the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
Right.
And he played... These are the links as well. McCallum Sr. was one of the 40 musicians to perform on the Beatles track A Day in the Life. Can you remember that one where they're all wearing weird noses and like bear hands and stuff like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And guitarist Jimmy Page says McCallum Sr. gave him the idea to play his guitar with a violin bow. Yeah. And McCallum Sr. were also part of the Paul McCartney project. So the guy who played Man from U.N.C.L.E., which you could say, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. was like...
spies, weren't they?
Well, they were double agents, weren't they? They were working for a global intelligence network.
Right, I used to watch it, but I didn't. I was a kid, I didn't really understand what it was.
But it would be what you'd say was like like Tavistock.
Right,
you know what I mean? Or
like a secret service.
Yeah,
black.
But know. Like no borders, no countries, like organization. Hmm. And they were Russian spies, but they were actually working for this global organization.
That's right, because the blonde one was Russian, wasn't it? And the other one was American.
Yeah,
is that right?
But they were both Russian. Robert Vaughan were Russian, I think, as well. Anyway, I'm not an expert on that. But Sapphire and Steel with Joanna Lumley. Right, Mark told me that the director, producer, writer of that was Judge Jules' dad.
Right,
and Judge Jules is Rick Steen's nephew.
Rick Steen, the chef.
Yeah,
it's like there's a
and Rick Steen's brother, right? Is a let me get this right. He makes brain chips like Neuralinks.
Right. What, he's developing?
Neurologist type character, yeah.
I'm going to say it's like, you could say, it's like that 1% that people that actually control this shit show. He's like a scum on top of the water, isn't it?
Well, yeah, do you know, yeah, it's like the zeros and ones, isn't it? It's like, this is the bit that hides everybody, isn't it? It's like the curtain in The Wizard of Oz, isn't it?
Yeah.
All these people that are...
running
it.
I've had a few people over the last couple of weeks with coincidentally say they're watching something on TV, which I mean, I remember it happened with The Crown and saying, but it's good because it's true, because it's real.
Right.
But it's not, it's on TV.
And if they're watching, is this at work? TV people show, at work?
Yeah, just generally, you know, to what people watching TV shows or series. But it's good. My mate said it about The Crown, and I remember it, I mentioned before I had it on the radio saying, you should put a warning at the front saying this is not real. Because it's not real, it's made up. It's got some, I suppose, some small truths in it. But I've had a few people say to me, oh, what, we watch this and it's really good because it's real. It's a true story. I mean, like I said, we mentioned the Bob Marley biopic. You can't believe anything. These things come out to solidify history, don't they? They're not real.
No.
Like the Churchill film's a classic one, isn't it?
Yeah. But the Churchill film, which, again, I've
never watched
Gary
it.
I'd never watch it again. Never watch it. I've never watched it once. No.
No.
I was even on a flight and it were on plane and I didn't watch it and I had hours to burn. I still don't watch it. I prefer to be bored out of my mind.
I think biopics are one of the worst, to be honest with you. And I sent you an email a while ago.
Apart from Beckham one, that's good.
Well, that is real because he's in it.
Oh, it's real, yeah.
It's not an announcement. Because no. I sent you one to you guys, you and Mark and Matt. They're making four Beatles films. Sam Mendes, the director, right, who directed some Bond films. I think he directed the Bond films, yeah. He's planning four, again, like I said, a series already before they've made one. Four Beatles films. One about Ringo, one about all four of them, basically.
I started looking at him, you know.
Probably climax.
When you mentioned him.
Yeah.
I didn't realise he were born in Trinidad, you know.
Sam Mendes.
He's like, yeah. His grandfather was a famous author.
Right.
Over there.
Right.
And
I think he made the last Bond films, didn't he? Is that right?
He made one of the Bond films, didn't he?
I think he made the last ones, in fact, the last
Spectre,
three.
Yeah.
I think he made the last three.
I made it up to Spectre, I think. Right. But yeah, he's made some. I mean, that Jared were crap, wasn't it? Road to Perdition were good, though.
Road to Perdition he made, yeah.
That were good, even though it had Tom Hanks in it.
Yeah. I watched that when it came out. It'd be interesting to see, if you watched it now, what level of agendas are in that one, because I didn't at the time.
Road to Perdition, from what I remember, I don't think there were that many in that, but I'm not saying there weren't.
But they're not, even films from that period, they're not like they are now, like that one I was talking about earlier, where they trounce you with them. They're just, they're loaded, aren't they? Fully loaded with them.
Yes. Well, like you said, first half an hour of that.
Had all them things in it.
Film it. Had everything.
Suicide,
in it.
Opioids, sudden death, Alzheimer's.
Matt was saying that guy who made the New Zealand guy, the Hobbit guy, Peter Jackson, that we looked
did
at.
He did the Beatles documentary. Yeah.
And he did that horrible first World War One remake where he coloured it all in. And they were doing reading on it, showing terror in people's faces and stuff like that.
I never watched that,
but I don't know how much of that to believe, because he owns an AI company as well. Much of all that is just AI?
Well, you think of Lord of the Rings. I mean, it's not even that dated. They were groundbreaking effects.
Yeah,
that he did in New Zealand.
Yeah,
not in Hollywood, so he could have full control over it. You do have to ask how far ahead these effects are, don't you?
Well, who's funding this stuff? Because, the funding is the key one, as always, if you follow the money, I suppose. Bloodlines and the money. Because they're getting funding from somewhere. Somebody's funding this future technology that's going to be in these films, that's implanted in these films.
Like I said before, these films don't make money like they used to, do they, anymore?
No.
They just don't. No.
That's why they make so many of them now. They just fire them out.
Yeah.
They're all Netflix films, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of Netflix films.
Did I mention that new Guy Ritchie film, The Gentleman's on Netflix?
It's a TV series, isn't it?
Missus were watching it. It's absolutely dreadful.
Is it?
It's just full of these, like, pretend quick. You know, like, as good as Snatch was. They're trying to be Snatch or Smoking Barrels. And it's absolutely dreadful. Yeah. Like plastic gangsters, like something that at least it were believable what were happening.
This the other ones were caricatures, weren't they? Which were entertaining.
It's just like, right, I'm gonna use every gangster film I can and just put bits in it, and they're so bleeding obvious. It's like a stand-up type thing where
a homage to every past gangster film.
Yeah, it's just, but it's not really got that good either. Anyway, but who's funding all this crap? You know, and obviously you've got a woman gangster who's harder than blokes and cleverer, and there's a duke in it who's getting involved in weed dealing and stuff. Why would a duke get involved in high-end criminal weed dealing and killing people?
when they can do it with pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, exactly. Anticovia sent me an email with this picture of a smiley face. Does this include it? It's Maxine Carr. I didn't know who it were. I knew her face, but I didn't know who she was. I thought it was that nurse. But Maxine Carr was girlfriend of Ian Huntley. We were only talking about the Soham murders a day before this. It freaked me out, actually.
I thought that's why you sent me that.
No, I didn't
send you
because
sent me that.
No.
Because you had her on it.
Yeah.
How weird we're on about the...
But that's meant to be from the two girls that got killed.
Why is she holding it up?
I don't know. She must have said that. Didn't she get locked up?
Yeah.
Think did so. She get locked up as well?
Yeah, they both did, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's when they were doing the press looking for them, because there was a period where they were looking for them two kids, weren't there?
Yeah. Well, what stands out on me with that, and a lot of these, is that they and I remember they were wearing Man U shirts. I remember Madeline McCann had an Everton shirt on.
Right.
I don't know what the that signifies, but...
One thing I do find odd is when they just use the same picture of people, the horrible things they've happened to or gone missing. You know, you've got... I don't know, I don't really want to talk about it. That's near me, that is, Kim... So thing. Yeah, it's near here. Yeah.
Well, one thing I remember that is that there's a haulage company, I forget the name, and it always said Soam under it, and I'd never heard of Soam before all this, obviously.
No.
Somebody else, Julie, sent us a message. My Wonderful World of Slapstick, Buster Keaton, must be in a book. This is a passage from it. As a result of throwing me around the stage for so many years, Pop's right arm became twice the size of his left. He demonstrated its punching power to the whole family one morning in Los Angeles. This was at the time when vaccination became compulsory. A great many people, including my parents, were rebelling against it. Some children died after being inoculated, and the number of these deaths was not to be underestimated. I imagine, for they were talked about all over the country. We were in Los Angeles in a hotel when the medical professional attempted to vaccinate us. Someone knocked on the hotel room door. Pop answered and found three men there, a county health officer, a hotel physician, and the house detective. When they announced their purpose, he belted the county health officer in the nose so hard it knocked him down and the man behind him. They went down like ninepins. Pop slammed the door. We packed within the hour and moved to another hotel and were never bothered again about being vaccinated.
That's fucking brilliant.
Apparently that were in a book. It must have been around 1910.
When men were men.
Yeah.
Pop smacked him. Well, hey, I'm not. What would you have done if someone had done that?
I don't know. And I'd probably been arrested.
Yeah.
But, which would have totally defeated the whole purpose of it, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Pop smacked him. Yeah. I don't know what I've done about it.
So it just shows that people back then noticed that...
Well, it's hidden, isn't it, Fire? That history has been deleted because you don't hear any of them stories, do you?
No.
I mean, I didn't even know that was happening. I didn't even know that happened. No, but like some of them pictures I put on Instagram and I sent you and Lorraine sent us one, like from 1800s, people being, you know, drawing cartoons about being anti-jib-jab. It was always there. No one's ever trusted these fuckers.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
No one with any sense has ever trusted them.
No. I found a few. If you go to Sheep Farm and Odyssey, all the old videos that I put on from about 3 or 4 years ago are all on there. They must have automatically backed up. So even though I've deleted them off YouTube, they're all actually on there.
Right.
On Odyssey. There's about 76 pages of them.
Yeah.
I found this one of Knight Rider.
What, David Hasselhoff?
Yeah, David Hasselhoff. Telling everybody to get jabbed.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's breaking it.
And here, listen to this.
What I'm looking for is to get life back to normal is the freedom. The freedom to get vaccinated and to go around the world. The most important experience of the pandemic for me is death. It causes death. Get vaccinated. The advice I can give to everyone in America and to the world and to Germany is get vaccinated. You can too.
Do you know what, to be fair to him,
he's a wanker.
Well, no, I mean, he probably believes what he's saying, and he thinks he's using his celebrity, if you like, to promote what he believes in. So, yeah. I don't know, how much shit can you give these people? At least he's not being aggressive.
You're very nice, you aren't you? I just heard Buster Keaton there. That's what needed to happen with a film star.
I did like that Buster Keaton song. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Pop whacked him.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are loads of videos on there about... I found one of Wancock getting his jab off Van Tampon. Can you remember that one?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Which seemed to me to be clearly no jab. You know, just one of them needles that disappeared.
Oh, was that the one where the needle disappeared, was it?
Yeah, in his little twig arm. Did you see... Somebody wrote us an email, Claire. I live in a small village, and around the time of 2021, two people died suddenly, one of a heart attack, the other of blood clots. In a family and brother-in-laws, in my family and brother-in-laws, their mum died on the bathroom floor of blood clots in November 2022. The list goes on and on. Husband is okay, but was in the Navy, so he was treated like a pincushion in there. He didn't have the arm spears. But yeah, so these are all live events. Like she said here, like you say, the revolution won't be televised. But these are events like that event I saw in where the helicopter landed in Outlay in our village, you know, that you never saw before. You never saw. Never. Somebody else wrote in, Lee, apologies if I'm way behind the eight ball with this. Maybe it's a fact. Let me share the screen with you, actually. I forgot I turned it off. Maybe it's a known fact, but a guy in Tesco's was telling his mate that they had vibrators on the shelf. This was like low down near the plasters and paracetamols. Well, I checked online and it's true, and I'm in no way a prude, but this seems to be wrong to me, especially as kids can clearly see them on display. Can you imagine the questions? Maybe your missus can answer them. Mum, what do you do with these? And so I don't know who this woman is, Rebecca Reed. Children don't need to be protected from seeing sex toys in supermarkets. It's nice to think that women are popping a vibrator in the trolley during their weekly shop and enjoying themselves.
Why is it nice to think, you stupid cow?
Why is it nice? Why
do you have to? Why does it have to be?
Do you feel like you missed out on Oak Crisp by not going
around vibrators in Tesco's? Yeah. No, I don't. No, you don't need to. We don't need to see everything. What a stupid mare! What are you talking about?
Well, I think what this is, right, the extraction of your imagination. Now you've got to have everything laid out in front of you because you can't think for yourself.
Yeah.
Because nobody can think for themselves or use it. They don't have to have... they have to have it there, don't they? They don't have to have it there, but it's put
But kids don't need to think about things like that till they're ready to think about things like that, do they?
No. No.
Stupid cow.
I know. But now there's, like, say, newspaper articles...
sexualizing children, classically. Yeah.
And easily as well, easily done.
Slow creep in it, you know, like I said, it starts a conversation. What's that, mum? And you've got to tell them. And then, you know, it's just wrong. It's wrong on every level. But it's a normalisation. Just like that film I was on about, the normalisation of someone just having a beer and having a heart attack and dropping dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody called Deborah wrote in, a weird synchronicity. I was only telling a friend, she must have listened to last Saturday's about the Attenboroughs. I was only telling a friend on Friday night, so we released that on Saturday, so she was telling a friend on Friday. I used to work with John Attenborough. He was a charming man, was a financial advisor when I worked for Abbey Life. In fact, I was his telesales girl. He told me about the Alfa Romeo garage he used to own. He wasn't the best salesman in the company. I asked him why he didn't promote himself with his name and bloodline. He explained to me how he wanted nothing to do with the family and how he'd fallen out with them many years ago. It's,
yeah. I wonder why.
But what that shows as well, though, is there are people that see maybe what's going on and want to distance themselves from that type of behaviour.
Maybe he just didn't want to lick that pint of goat's blood.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't want to wipe 6 billion people off the planet.
Yeah. Maybe he thought people were all right.
Maybe he'd seen what happened to people when they signed the contract, wherever that contract is. Maybe he got invited in.
So did David Hasselhoff, who still got jabbed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. David Hasselhoff and Hoffman. Yeah. Another email said that, oh, Chris listens to John Campbell. You don't listen to John Campbell, do you?
Oh, do you know?
You've heard a few. No, I'm on about like every time he releases out.
No, I listen to his, if I see one pop up and it's ones with the stats, I'll listen to it. But I didn't, what did that guy say? But, oh, girl, but.
I don't know.
I don't listen to him. I'm not like an avid listener. I do find it very odd, though, how he pops up on YouTube all the time. I don't know if it's just me.
Yeah.
But why is he always there? I mean, he pretends he's careful with his words, but is he careful with his words? He still gets to talk about that shit.
Well, no, he still talks about that stuff.
We don't. Yeah. We can't
I can't put one thing on. We did a podcast with, it was Mark. I put a podcast on there. Went on for, I don't know. It wasn't even live. And it got, yeah. It got a medical strike.
Yeah.
Wasn't even live.
I mean, he gets to sail through everything.
Yes.
But the reason I listen to him, because he does take government papers and goes through them. That's the bits I listen to. Who knows what it is. I don't know. But I find that stuff interesting because he goes through it and I won't go through them papers because the bot shit out of me. But
yeah, he's got a fountain pen though.
He's got a fountain pen.
Yeah. But yeah, do you know what? He hasn't woken up. I don't believe he hasn't woken. He doesn't see, you know, it's not like, say, Matt Letizier or Mike Eden, who have literally, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can hear it in the voice, you know?
Furious.
Well, we know what that feels like because when you do realise that you basically are all like, Kevin Bacon ain't Kevin Bacon. And, you know,
and the government
Roald Dahl is an intelligence operative, you know.
And the government when they protect you, want you dead.
Yes, yeah. Well, there's a high possibility that they look at you as...
Before I forget, I forgot to tell you this. You know, we were going about vitamin C and vitamin D, how it's got started to get attacked in mainstream. I also saw a few articles about cider vinegar. Raw cider vinegar, you know, with mother in it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, blooming, you know.
Very good for your digestive system.
Yeah. A lot of people swear by it, but I've seen it attacked two or three times now in mainstream media. And even on Alternative as well, I saw something a while ago. But I thought it was funny, it was in the Daily Mail saying the good and bad of what cider vinegar. You know, what is cider vinegar? The dangers of cider, you know. Do you know what I mean?
Instead of eating cider vinegar, just eat beetles.
No, McDonald's.
Oh, McDonald's. McStatins.
Yeah. But I just thought it was interesting because it adds another one to the growing, you know, things of supplements that people have looked into themselves and they find helpful. I mean, a guy emailed me ages ago, going back a year or so, and he sent me a picture of all his cider vinegar. He bought racks of it in case it got sold out. But a bit like you did with vitamin C when COVID hit. You know, he bought tons of... cider vinegar, and I were doing it. It's good.
I didn't mean bought a lot of it. I only bought 100 kilos.
But I've gone through a few bottles of cider vinegar. Now I saw it in mail, I'm going to buy another one.
Yeah, explain that one. 100 kilos of white powder. It's vitamin C. Yeah.
Delivered to a darkie's house.
Yeah, of course it is part breed. It's vitamin C, officer. Of course it is part breed.
Did he dip your finger in it like a
cookie? Like. Robert wrote in saying, "Hello, Dom and Chris. I've always had my reservations about George Galloway. He appears to me to be a pure politician whose only reason to exist, appears to be remaining in the public eye and filling his pockets." Yeah, I agree. I don't even know the guy. I don't take any notice of politics at all. I'm not political at all. It's one of the things I don't look at. It's very curious that no one ever seems to actually take him to task on how he supports himself. It's a good question, that financially. It'd be interesting to do a deep audit on his background financially and politically. George Galloway is clearly an intelligent man. He's a good talker and all that. But it always gets me with him that he's won. He's been MP. This one's been blown out of proportion because he's won two elections, by-elections as an independent twice before.
Yeah, I don't follow politics, but I don't think there is any politics, and there's just agendas, like I said before. But when you saw him doing that talk and he was slagging off Richie Sunak, it did make me excited. But I don't believe anything's going to happen. I don't think he's you know, maybe it's just more dividing it, as always. I think.
Just another moron. Ooh, no,
like you say, I don't know who he is, but I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I'd love it if that was true. I would.
And, but it isn't.
But it probably isn't.
And not only that, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
It's probably just going to help them change laws on something that's going to hurt everybody else in future.
Yeah.
One newspaper article said, fasting causes heart attacks. There's a lot of stories about different things that can cause certain illnesses now.
Well, that's another thing that they've started attacking is fasting, because people have looked into things themselves again and realised that some level of fasting is helpful. Yeah. I do quite a lot of level of fasting. But I always have done. I've always been like, you take a piss out of me saying eat like a blue bottle. Yeah. I remember that horror, the horror in your voice when it was like one after and said, I don't know what to eat yet. And you went, you fucking what? But I've always just, but this is another thing as well. You know, when they say you got to have breakfast, lunch and dinner, which is basically getting to consuming it, basically. But everyone's different, aren't they? I've never eaten breakfast, never liked breakfast, never wanted it, just wanted a cup of coffee in the morning, even as a kid. And working in kitchens, I never eat till afternoon. So that's an element of fasting. And what I realised is you just don't nibble anything, and then you've actually can do a 16-hour fast quite easy.
Yeah, you eat like a blue bottle.
Like you say, eat like a blue bottle. But to be fair, when I eat, I put it away. But then there's all these different, you know, diets and versions, eat bits at time, this and that.
Yeah.
You should do what you fucking want, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Whatever makes you comfortable and happy, that's what you should do. Yeah. But that rule that we got brought up with, that you should have breakfast, lunch and dinner, and breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah. I tell you what
nonsense.
You shouldn't do. You shouldn't go to Britney Spears concerts.
That's what you shouldn't do. If you want some health advice.
Yeah. It's quite an easy one, is that? Yeah. There's been a few recent victims. Miami Open tennis player collapsed mid-match as medics rushed out onto the court. French tennis star Arthur Cazot had to retire from the Miami Open qualifier on Monday after collapsing in the third set.
I read that, actually. You sent me that today. And do you know something I noticed in it when you read it? It hinted how hot and humid it was.
Yeah.
So global climate warming change made a 21-year-old collapse. They hinted at it. They didn't really go on about it, but they hinted at it. They said how humid it was and how hot it was, and it'll probably cool down it next week, so blah, blah, blah. But they were kind of easing it in there, definitely.
What I would say is, how many people have played in Miami at the Open over the last... And how many how many collapsed before and after double tap? Scott's community rally around heartbroken family after sudden death of popular young teen, 14-year-old.
Of what?
I don't know. Sudden death.
Oh, CPR.
An Eton College schoolboy tragically died after collapsing. This is another story.
On the
playing fields at the weekend, it emerged today. Raphael Pryor was playing the historic field game, a variation of football, at the school when he became unwell. Onlookers desperately tried to save the 17-year-old boy by performing CPR. Now, does he look unfitted to you? Not like
it looks a lot fitter than I've ever looked.
And five-time Paralympic gold medalist, age 37, dies after being admitted to hospital due to fits or epileptic shocks. Yeah. Epileptic fits, yeah. And she went into cardiac arrest in the early hours.
Horrible.
These are happening live. And one of the things that's happening live, just to finish this first hour, is, and I hate talking about the royal family, but this is another...
It's very interesting, this. Though.
It's another smokescreen, though, isn't it? What is really happening in the world to have this? Is it Gaza? Is it all the other stuff that's going on?
There's definitely things planted and films planted to get those conspiracy nut jobs chatting about him and probably wasting his time chatting about him as well. But who knows?
It's quite interesting, though, isn't it?
It is very interesting. Yeah.
If you look at the pictures they're releasing, why
like
not
that.
Just? But eh?
That picture with where's that supposed to be?
That's meant to be at a farm shop. That
doesn't even look like her.
No. That's what they've released today. And it says, that picture there is meant to, finally everyone could calm down. The Palace source suggests a picture of Kate Middleton smiling on farm shop trip with Prince William. That doesn't even look like Prince William.
Could be anyone, that. He's got a flat cap on. He's got a baseball cap on. And that picture of her looks like, it could be, she snapped some random photo, but looked a bit like him.
Yeah.
And launched that out there. But if everything's fine, why
how long are her arms?
If everything's fine, why do they have to broadcast it?
They're longer than your knuckle scrapers.
Do you remember that tan leather jacket I used to have in late 90s? I had a tan leather jacket. I bought it second hand. I fucking love that jacket. Mate Jimbo used to call me Dr. Zeus out of Planet of the Apes. I had slightly long hair as well. Yeah. So you just look like fucking Dr. Zeus. Just ran when you said knuckle scrapers.
You used to have to take your rings off when you went into petrol stations because it sparks, didn't you?
Yeah, that doesn't look like her. I'm sure people have seen this picture by now.
Yeah. You'd say that isn't her. But also, right, why not just stand on a podium and say, I'm all right, don't worry about me, I'm just having a bit of time out.
She wanted to go to a farm shop instead.
Oh, yeah. Imagine how many people went to a farm shop. Helicopters flying in and armoured Range Rovers and what have you.
SAS
coming down and on a rope. And
can you have an organic bacon sandwich, please? A load of bollocks.
Royal family. Most people have seen conspiracy theories online, but trust in the royals is undented. As polls show. So they're doing a poll, right, whether you trust the story or not.
That's bullshit, because I don't like saying that word, but anyway, even people have been telling me at work and stuff that...
Even NPCs?
I'm not going to say NPCs or normies, but even people I...
Even sheep. Knobheads.
people who...
Normies.
People at work have talked about this. Yeah. I think it's weird. So it's out there for a reason. And none of it has to be out there, does it?
No.
I don't know. What is going on? Finally, everyone calmed down. He's got a picture of a stranger.
Yeah, that's
going
to work, isn't it? Yeah. One of the bodybuilding things that pop up on my YouTube, even they were talking about it. They had that picture on there, right? Mm. Saying, where's Kate Middleton? It was a bodybuilding thing. What's that going to do with bodybuilding? Even they're talking about it.
That's what I'm saying. At work, they're talking about it, but the grillers. Even grillers are talking about it.
Even steroid abusing grillers are talking about it.
But you're right, though. It must be a distraction, then. Because I don't know, but there's no reason. If she's fine and well, there's no reason to mention it that conspiracy theories are saying this and that and this and that.
No.
What Tavistock fucking game are they playing here? Who knows? What button are they pushing? What they're trying to do? Who knows? Mad, isn't it? Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Funny.
It is interesting. Like, again, you go into observer mode and you look at it and you think, like Biden, for argument's sake, you watch him wobbling around, falling down steps, mumbling around, going the wrong way when he's going off camera and then walking back past camera, forgetting what he's got to say and all that type of stuff. And everyone's saying he's sharp as a tack. You know, he's...
But you can't for a second think that old shenanigans with him in hasn't been done on purpose.
No, you can't.
It's got to be.
They were interviewing all the Democrat senators saying, he's the sharpest I've seen him. He's actually got sharper. This is what they're saying.
Well, again, another fellow at work said to me, he saw a video with him and he said it looked like someone had given him a line or something. They were off his tits. Moving around, you know. these aren't conspiracy foot. These normal foot. Said I saw a video of him, and he looked like he was off his. He was like, because everyone's slagging him off, they're giving him some live, and they're just to, you know,
upped his meds. You were going to say normally then?
I know. You know what I mean.
Yeah, it's strange behaviour. We'll look at one of these videos and play one of these videos before we go. I played Joanna Lumley, actually. if I must. Where is she? If she is. There's a couple, actually, I'm going to play.
I think that we're going to have to, just as when you go to Uganda, you're not let into the country unless you can show your yellow fever passport, saying that you've been jabbed at that time. So I've got all of them up to date on all my things. And I carry my vaccination program with me all around the world with hepatitis and rabies and all the things written on it. Why not just add this COVID jab on it? And then that means that people in the countries where you're going feel happy about you. People you're with feel, I actually wouldn't mind having papers, you know, they're going, may I see your papers? Of course, I wouldn't mind going, of course. They've got everything else about us.
Yeah, I mean, they've got everything else about us. I mean, what's the harm, right? Let's just carry a big folder around with us, documenting everything about our lives. So
who's that talking?
That were, the guy that's got a podcast, I forget his name now. They're on Odyssey from like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right. Why would you listen to Joanna Lumley?
Why is she there?
I'll let her take control of my decision making. And it's all right to carry the papers. What?
Yeah.
Nazi voice and everything.
You know.
Mad, isn't it?
It is. Well, it was mad. It still is mad.
Madder.
Yeah.
It's madder and no one notices anymore because it's all in.
listen to this one as well.
Guidance from the UK's Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation now says that vaccination is recommended for all people, including those who are trying for pregnancy, are pregnant or breastfeeding. This brings us in line with other countries who've been offering COVID-19 vaccination to all since December 2020. Now, before this, only pregnant women and people who were particularly at high risk of catching COVID-19, such as healthcare workers, or those who were at higher risk of serious complications if they contracted the virus, were offered the vaccine. But now, any pregnant woman or person can get it if they choose to do so. The vaccine is safe and effective, and it gives you the best protection against COVID-19. It's safer to have the vaccine if you're trying to get pregnant, or breastfeeding than to catch the virus itself. But remember, whether or not you accept the offer of vaccination is your decision.
I don't want to start.
I wipe my hands of all that. We've offered it you. There you go. Terrified you. Scared you into submission.
I don't want to start swearing again, but that makes you can literally feel your molecules boiling, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Just stand there. Pregnant women. Look how many.
If you're trying to get pregnant, she said.
Pregnant people, do you notice that? Yes. Pregnant women and people.
Yeah, pregnant women then.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Or bearded women.
Yeah.
The bearded lady.
Pregnant people. Pregnant women or people.
Yeah.
You can't get pregnant unless you're a woman. Sorry.
Yeah.
She was quite, what is it as well, wasn't she? Ambidextrous looking.
Yes.
Interesting choice of person though. Do you know what I mean though?
Yeah,
just I know. Well, obviously no one can see that, but she had very short hair and looked, I'm not saying she looked like a fella, but she looked quite boyish. Quite an interesting choice when you're saying pregnant people, pregnant women and people.
Yeah.
Something that is physically impossible for her, impossible. And we're being told by that twat that it's possible that you can be a pregnant woman or person.
Yeah.
I don't understand why women aren't more up in arms about it, you know. They dare. No one dare say anything, dare they, I suppose.
No, nobody dare say.
You'll get silenced.
On just to finish with, somebody sent me a news article about Ariana Grande. This is from 2014, saying that would have been better left unsaid. That Ariana Grande overheard saying she hoped her fans would all fucking die.
Why did she say that?
I don't know. Probably because she had a busy day. signing autographs.
Flash forward.
Yeah.
She pretends to blow them all up.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nothing's a coincidence.
Nice way to talk about your family.
Yeah. All right then. Well, that's first hour over. If you're going to join us in the second hour, we'll see you there. If not, enjoy next week when we release the Huxley episode 7, an unnatural selection. Mm-hmm. See you soon. Bye.
of the oceans and skies.